Chris.
Marcus.
Guys, we are back. It is a little pocket awareness. We are back, and you guys already know what to do. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow us on Twitter. It's ALPA underscore QB1. That is ALPA underscore QB1 on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. A little pocket awareness. Go ahead, type it in on Facebook. Go ahead and subscribe on iTunes too. If you're listening on iTunes, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. And if you're listening on Spotify, go ahead and hit that download button. And then make sure you follow me and Chris on Twitter too, at the Mark John NFL for me and at King Manelos for Chris. So Chris, how are you feeling, man?
I'm on a roller coaster, Marcus.
You're on a roller coaster.
I'm on an absolute roller coaster. I hit my two bets that I laid out for everybody here on last week's episode, that money line Cowboys bet and the Packers cover. And not only did the Packers cover, we got a victory out of it too.
Yeah, they did.
Rodgers proven himself to be an MVP candidate once again without three of his top wide receivers. His tight end goes down to an ACL injury during the game, and he basically managed his way with a lot of guys that didn't even know where to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled off a win in Arizona, man. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then shows up this week with COVID.
Yeah. Now he's out.
He's
out for this week. We get to find out about Jordan Love, bro. You know,
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, my season, the Raiders they just want to have roller coasters all the time.
Henry Ruggs is trying to drive a roller coaster. It goes at 154 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Crazy, crazy story. So, I mean, he's done. So, the Raiders got to move on. You guys decide how they're going to do that. That's going to be interesting. So, interesting look for that one. All right, man. So, we got a couple topics today. Of course, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. That matchup, Packers versus Chiefs, is a big matchup. And then, you know, we can talk about a little Jordan Love. You know, Patrick Mahomes coming in, you know. And then, of course, we're going to deep dive into, you know, we got Rams versus Titans this week. We got Baker Mayfield drama with Odell Beckham, so we got some good stuff to talk about, guys, this week. But, you know, let's go ahead and just, you know, we're already talking about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. Let's just get into it, Chris. Aaron Rodgers,
he said, I am immunized, and nobody bat an eye when he said it.
Nobody
cared when he said it.
No, they didn't. They're like, oh yeah, he's vaccinated. They're as excited. They're as excited the quarterback was vaccinated at that point.
Yep, and he just kept his mouth shut. He kept his mouth shut because he didn't want to deal with any of the scrutinization. I think he did it. The only thing that he might get in trouble for is not wearing a mask while he was speaking to the media.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to say that he wasn't wearing a mask during preseason. Well, he manipulated the rules there. Like, he wasn't dressed for preseason, and the requirements for wearing a mask were for players that were dressed, not for people on the sideline that weren't dressed.
And he had to be inactive, which nobody's inactive in preseason.
Well, so, I mean, there's manipulation of the rules. Mm-hmm. Everybody's curious about how many people were at the Halloween the party that he was at when he was walking around without a mask. As long as it was less than 15 people, he doesn't violate any of the COVID rules established by the NFL.
Yeah.
So it seems that Aaron Rodgers has been able to manipulate the rules to fit what he wanted. Now, a lot of people are calling him a liar for the way that he danced around answering the question. You could probably justify that. But, I mean, everybody wants to deal with the wordplay now and what word means what. And he's a liar because he was wordsmithing his way through it. And I hate this whole thing. Like, I'm over 2021 and 2020 and the world of COVID.
Yeah.
And it's just been an absolute nightmare for everybody. And everybody needs to just take a big, deep breath. Just be glad that they're healthy. If they're healthy, just be glad that they're running through their daily routines, and we really gotta figure something out as a society here.
Yeah, my thing with it, my thing kind of with this whole thing is like, I don't know, are we killing him so much? But like, Cliff Kingsbury didn't play last week. You know, he wasn't like somebody that was there that played, or he's vaccinated. So I don't know. I mean, at this point, I just don't get the whole society thing of like, I'm special, more special than you are type of thing with it. That's my thing. That's my only type of thing I have with it, because I mean, a lot of people in the NFL that are getting it are on 100% vaccinated team. So it's not really I'm sure it looks bad and you lie, but I mean, let's just keep it real, man. I mean, it's not like they have a really good fix for it. I mean, if he was vaccinated, he got it on Sunday and they played Thursday, and like he would have played. So that's kind of my thing with it, but whatever.
I'm right there with you, Marcus. Yeah. I'm right there with you. It's just, I mean, let's be 100% honest about all of this. Like, is maybe one or two people in the NFL are really severely impacted by COVID? Is that a fair statement to make?
No. Yeah.
I mean, you don't really hear about these big time athletes being people that are truly really affected.
No, I would say that too. I would say that, the athletes aren't really affected by it. But the league is just trying to, be PC and buy everything. And they want everything to be, they want to looked at as society and sports, I mean, it's basically what it is, bro. But I'm just still, that the whole like, let's kill somebody for something, even though everybody is still getting it, like act like this person's irresponsible. When Cliff Kingsbury, you can make the case that the Cardinals lost last week because they didn't have Cliff. So I don't know. And like Davante Adams was unvaccinated, he missed last week. So I mean, we didn't kill him for that.
Yeah, nobody double checked where he was in the building and what he was doing where and who he was hanging out with. It's wild. It's way too wild.
The mixture of sports and politics sometimes just gets crazy. Sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
that's not. It's
yes,
100% fact. But anyways, so Jordan Love's playing though. We see Jordan Love
is playing. Yes,
it's funny, Chris. At the beginning of the season, what did I say was going to happen this year? What did I say? Did I say that history is going to repeat itself? I said that. I said that he's going to have that game that's like Aaron Rodgers had at the Cowboys. But it's just like, well, damn, maybe Aaron Rodgers is pretty damn good.
I would love nothing more than for Jordan Love to have a good game. And if there was ever a game for him to play this season.
Yeah, it's this one.
This is the one. This is the one. This is the defense that you want to go against right now. And it's not like it's something like where they're at home and it's like a cakewalk for them. Like this is in Kansas City. Okay. This is no joke. Like going on the road to Kansas City against one of the teams that are capable of putting up 30 points in a blink of an eye, like the offense has to perform.
Yeah.
And I think it can under Jordan Love, even with the addition of Melvin Ingram for the defensive line. Don't get me wrong. That's going to be a scary defensive line if Frank Clark can play like he did last weekend. Mm-hmm. Again, the offensive line that he's going to face is way better than the one that they faced with the Giants. So
sure.
Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, those are big time pass rushing names. So it's not like they don't have people up front and Tyrann Mathieu on the back end. Like there's still talent on that defense. They just haven't put it together at all this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that, Jordan Love, they'll probably, do a lot of play action. They're going to try to mix it up with him to try to make it easier for him.
Yeah, I think he'll go for establishing the run big time. I think you're going to see the offense the way that LaFleur really wants to run it.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of Amari Rodgers in motion. You'll see a lot of running with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Lots of play action. It wouldn't surprise me if you see Love on some bootlegs to get him out of the pocket and be able to attack line of scrimmage and use his legs. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he scores a running touchdown this week. If I'm going to predict something here for you, two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown.
Oh, okay. You're saying we're going to see some zone read in the red zone? Is that what you're predicting here?
I am excited for what we're going to be seeing here, because this is basically going to be the offense after Aaron Rodgers and potentially after Devontae Adams too.
Yeah,
I want to see this Amari Rodgers connection, see if there's something there. Tanyan's done for the year, but he's a restricted free agent, so he might not be back next year too. So now we get a look at our tight end that we drafted in the third round. What's his name? Josh
DeGora.
Yeah. So we're going to get a look at some young talent, and I'm really interested and a little bit excited for what the future can bring with this team.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm interested in what the future can bring with this team too. I just thought, I don't know about them getting rid of Devontae. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think there's no way they do that. There's no way.
Listen, he wants to be paid as the number one wide receiver in the NFL. He wants more money than DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't think there is money in the cap for Devontae Adams. They got to resign Jair Alexander to an extension. That's a must. That has to happen. Z wants a new contract, Zadarius. You just paid Bakhtiari. You have to pay Elton Jenkins. Like, you have to pay him. You need him on the offensive line. And I would rather have Jenkins on the offensive line than Devontae Adams on the outside. Also, I'm going to stick with my prediction here. When they trade Aaron Rodgers in the offseason, it's to Denver. And okay. You're going to get some first-round picks back, and you're going to get Jerry Jeudy back. So Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, you think Jerry Judy's coming?
I think Jerry Jeudy's coming, yeah.
I don't know about that, bro.
Jerry Jeudy, Amari Rodgers, and MVS. Those are the three wide receivers. They still have to pay – they have to pay Scantling, too. There are two wide receivers on the books for next season for the Green Bay Packers, Amari Rodgers and Randall Cobb. So there's a lot of issues with the cap for next season. And what if they want to keep Aaron Rodgers? They're certainly not going to keep – they won't be able to afford to keep Devontae if that's the case. He would have to take some type of contract that Aaron Rodgers would basically have to talk him into so that they could keep rocking out together. So I don't know how – I'm anticipating no Devontae Adams on the Packers next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see how they do it, man. I think they'll figure it out. I mean, yeah, I think you got to figure it out with a player like him.
Maybe you
backload it. I don't know what you do, but you.
Yeah, I mean, but you've already got backloaded contracts with David Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark. So I'm telling you, man, the cap is an absolute nightmare for the Green Bay Packers. This is quite literally all in. They went all in last year and all in this year, and now they're paying. Now they got to pay for it. And I would rather have Jair Alexander and Elton Jenkins than having Devontae. I'm sorry. And Devontae is my guy. I've been preaching and singing and yelling his names ever since we drafted him.
Yeah. I mean, Devontae's a really good player, man. So,
he's amazing. I love him. I want him to be a Packer. I want him to be a Packer. I don't know how it's even possible at this point.
Yeah, I think they're gonna figure it out, bro. I'd rather have
Jair and Jenkins. And if that's gonna cost the Packers Devontae Adams, so be it.
You talking about the tackle? Bro, you need a wide receiver though. You don't end up like the Chiefs.
This is a great transition.
Transition because you don't want to end up like the Chiefs look, bro, because they look absolutely awful. I'm going to tell you that.
The Chiefs don't have a running game. And there's a running game in Green Bay, especially with that offensive line. And especially if you can keep a guy like Jenkins and Bakhtiari. You drafted the rookie to play center for you. Josh Myers is going to be on the team for 5 seasons. And Billy Turner's killing it on the outside. They're doing really good with the interior draft picks as well for the offensive line. So there's a formula here for the Green Bay Packers that I don't believe is a formula for in Kansas City.
I think because with me, I mean, what you're talking about, I just think the draft, you know, this year especially with like even at wide receiver, I mean, besides like Olive and those guys, I mean, there's not a lot of like superstars. So it's hard to like gauge like what you really want to do you know, with this type of, you know, offense, or, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I'm telling you what LaFleur wants to do. He wants play action. He wants somebody coming across in motion to move the defense. It's not going to be a one quarterback, one receiver type of offense. It's going to be a run first offense that works off the play action. If they can find, like I said, that's why I think Jerry Jeudy comes into play. That's why I think with these draft picks that are coming, they're going to try and find somebody to fill those spots.
Do you really think they're going to trade Aaron too? I mean, it depends on how Jordan Love plays really good.
I've been under the impression that this is Rodgers' last season since before he didn't show up. We talked about this on multiple occasions. I've been saying the same thing this whole entire year. I knew he was coming back. They restructured his contract to make it. This is his last season on the books, basically. They would need to do a brand new deal next year to bring him back. Would I love that for that to happen? Yeah, but they're going to have to get creative as hell for that to work out. So, I mean, I'm going to stick to the trade to Denver. He can be a pain in your butt for the rest of his career. And we'll get some first round picks out of Denver. They'll struggle. We'll get Jerry Jeudy. I'll take Jerry Jeudy and Amari Rodgers and MVS to be the wide receiver core to get Jordan Love's career started.
I think Aaron goes to Pittsburgh. So maybe you get Juju Smith-Schuster.
I don't want Juju. He was just a free agent. You want to give me somebody over there? Give me the tight end. Give me the kid that they just got.
Oh, Faiermuth. That's what you want, huh? Uh-huh. You want Faiermuth. They're not getting rid of Faiermuth.
Hey, but it's Aaron Rodgers.
That's where I think Aaron's going. I think Aaron goes to Pittsburgh. I think that's the place where he's going to decide where he wants to go. And I don't know how bad he really wants to go to Denver, especially like Von Miller's and is gone and, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, that's a veteran out of the locker room that you don't have to compete with. I mean, basically, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, it's his team. There's nobody else there that's going to
step up. He wants to win, too. I don't know how quick he would win in Denver. He's old. Even if he went over there, I don't know how quick he'd win, because I don't know how much he is like carrying a team. You know what I mean? Because even this last game, they won.
You just saw it.
He did not carry them. Don't say that.
Are you kidding?
He did it though.
Come on, Marcus. Let's be honest. No left. His all pro left tackle gone. All pro corner gone. All pro pass rusher gone. All three wide receivers out. Loses his tight end. I mean, he didn't have anybody.
I know he didn't have
anybody. Kevin King was out. They started their third best cornerback against the best receiver, the highest paid receiver in the NFL.
I know.
Their third corner.
I know, but they played good defense.
They did play really good defense.
And they held Kyler Murray. You know what I mean? So that was
Kyler Murray looked like the old Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
He got away with that. That whack throw to Hopkins, just because Hopkins is such a vet and he schooled the rookie corner. That should have been an interception. It would have been his third instead of his second or so. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that Kyler Murray drives me absolutely insane. And there needs to be another conversation with Mark after that.
No, I did notice some of the stuff that Mark was talking about though. I was DMing with this one kid that we know. We always make fun of Kyler Murray, my dude Angel. We always make fun of him. But I was noticing that he was sliding. I don't know if you noticed this, Chris, because you know, we're talking about passing lanes and he was sliding left and right in the pocket. I don't know if you noticed that. But like a lot of his big throws in the middle of the field, there was a slide with it. There wasn't like a straight up drop back. So I think he's figuring out.
I can't go that far. There were way too many times that he bolted out of the pocket unnecessarily.
It was a lot better than, you know, I think he's figuring out. He's not being a Baker Mayfield type.
I'll give you a on the season. Yeah, he's figuring it out and he's showing some, but in that game, he was the old Kyler Murray.
All right. We tried to transition, but then we came back.
Let's
transition to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, he's struggling. Last couple games, he's been pretty. He just hasn't been himself. It's like the first time I've ever seen him really bad. I'm like the first 5 weeks, they were like just turnovers, right? The first 6 weeks, it was just like turnovers. Like, oh my God. But they were like moving the ball. Like now they can't move the football.
I don't know. They moved the ball. On that first drive, they moved the ball pretty well. the scripted plays, they work for him. The first 15 looked pretty good. You had a poor throw into the end zone, which was in between wide receivers, and they both didn't know who was going to go for the ball, and then it went off one of their heads and popped into a receiver's hand. So that was kind of dumb luck. Yeah. But it was because of a poor throw. He's struggling.
Yeah, he's struggling.
This was the guy that he is right now is who I struggled with him being coming out of college.
Yeah. He's struggling. I think what he's struggling with is, you know, teams are giving him the check down. He's not taking it.
Absolutely.
The Giants, because the Raiders are playing the Giants. So I watched that game and the Giants were basically like, check it down. And they just kept dropping and he wouldn't do it. And then, you know, what's wrong with him a little too, Chris, is that, which is crazy to say, but I think he's getting gun shy because he's getting so many turnovers. Because he had a play where, like, there was a couple of throws. And even when Dan Orlovsky showed that, you know, when he's talking about he should have threw a Tyreek Hill, I'm like, Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago throws that right to the seam between those two safeties. So there's something going on with him psychologically, right? Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, he wouldn't even look at Tyreek Hill. He just would have threw it as hard as he could right before those safeties could even drive. But, like, he got a little gunshot. He thought, okay, maybe what if I throw a pick, though? And that's what you're starting to see.
He's getting too cute. That's because he's getting too cute. His, we had this conversation with Mark. Mechanics don't matter when you're winning.
Yeah.
But when you're struggling, when everything's going wrong, you have to be able to come back to your mechanics and start there from point A. And these throws that he's making, my God, he threw one running to his left. Like sinker ball, like or a submarine pitcher throw. Yeah. Like my shoulder fell off from watching him. My shoulder fell off. He completed it. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. But he's doing. Why is he doing that so much?
Because he's been doing it his whole career. Like that's the thing. That's the thing with it too. Is, you know, he's been doing this stuff his whole career. I think he just has to. He has to check it down to bring teams up. And if he doesn't check it down, then the things that they do, like, because Andy Reid's not changing his scheme. He's not changing the way he's calling plays. That's why I was frustrated for me. I feel bad for him too, because like teams are playing him a certain way. He's not calling plays to how they're attacking them. So, and I think Travis Kelce's lost a step a little bit, which I talked about. That's going to happen. That's when that team starts to fall off, is when he loses a step. Well, and I think he's lost a step. I think he definitely lost it.
He definitely lost the football.
Yeah, he was looking.
He was pressing too.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So basically, all they have right now is Tyreek Hill. I mean, and they don't really have anybody else besides that. Like besides those two, and you got Travis Kelce, who's not playing like he's elite anymore. So he looks like he's just a good tight end. He's more like a Zach Ertz type at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like a Zach Ertz type of. You know, he's good. But he's not Travis Kelce. You know what I mean? He's not dominant type of thing that we're used to seeing. Like, he's not getting open. James Bradbury is locking him up. I think that offense is in trouble. And Andy Reid is the one who's going under the radar, under the rug. Nobody's saying anything about him.
You're right. Like, they need to change the way that they're running the offense because it's just not working. They got to run that ball, man.
Go under centers. Do some passes under center. Teams aren't – if they go under center and they start passing under center, teams would be cut off guard. They're not – because they don't do that.
Fast as Tyreek Hill and the timing that he has already established with Patrick Mahomes, if you put those two in an under center West Coast offense running slants and ins, they would torch everybody. Three-step drops, get the ball out of your hands to the fastest guy in the league. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know why teams don't think like this. Like – and when they put two tight ends out there, they got like big chunk runs. Like, bro, like you cannot do this air raid thing anymore. So obviously the league is playing you like they do, like the college teams play the air raid. Like the Giants rush three.
They had three safeties. They had three safeties
in the game. Yeah, three safeties up there. Like Iowa State. So I'm saying, like, I was like, is this Iowa State, bro? They got James Bradbury. So they got Logan Ryan, Xavier McKinney, and who else is the other safety? Jabril Peppers back there playing three safeties. Then they have McKinney. Then he becomes the middle of the field. So then it becomes like a cover, then everything's closed and they're covering everything. So, like, bro, and it's like,
yeah, Peyton, you can check it out. Peyton wouldn't stop talking about the, what was that P drop? The P drop in the coverage. covering that middle of the field where that linebacker just dips out in that Tampa 2 cover 2 defense.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, they got beat up pretty good by the Giants.
Giants got a good Steve though, man. They got a good coordinator over there. I don't know his name, but he's good. He's a good dude. They ain't got no pass rush. So I mean, that's why they
suck. They don't. Yeah, they do not have. Leonard Williams is like it for them.
Yeah, yeah, and he's not. He's inside.
Well, they got two. They got. Who's that other defensive tackle? Tomlinson.
Tomlinson. Is it? No. Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence. Thank you.
Yes.
But he's. They got two stud middle of the field defensive tackles, but they got nobody on the outside. Yeah. Those two are eating bodies and nobody is getting free on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Olajuwon is young. I mean, he has some talent, but like this, when I was watching the Chiefs game, like I didn't feel like a pass rush was getting to Patrick Mahomes like that. Mm-hmm. But I still think that they have to work on.
Go ahead. Watching some of the tape on Patrick, he's bailing pockets hard.
Yeah. He doesn't trust that right tackle.
He doesn't trust anything right now.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't trust. He doesn't trust the line. He doesn't trust the. I don't know. I think he trusts the inside of the line, but I don't think he trusts the tackle, because as soon as he feels the tackle is getting even slightly beat, he bails. So he's doing things like that where he's bailing because he's not trusting. I don't think he trusts the scheme either. I don't know if he trusts the play call, which is the secret.
Hey man, I've seen a lot of that. If a quarterback doesn't trust the play call, he has the ability to change the call. That's the thing.
How much do you have the ability to change the call? Because it's not like Madden where you can like change formations. There's probably like three calls inside of the play. Like, how much can you really change to? Can you change to a different play? Is Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback, really going to change to a run play? I don't think he is. So, you know, it's
all right, good point.
He's not going to change the run play. So it's going to be interesting to see how they switch it up, because I think Andy Reid has been figured out. His little air raid, NFL air raid offense that he's been running, Patrick Mahomes,
has been figured out. Okay.
And he has to figure out how to adjust to it. And if he doesn't, they're going to be like 9-8 for like the foreseeable future until they get another wide receiver one stud.
Which, I mean, boy, do they need help.
Yeah, they need help.
He needs another weapon.
Yeah, I didn't realize that
losing Sammy Watkins was going to be that big of a deal.
I know.
But it's also like they don't even try to run the ball. Like, the kid Gore looked good when he got the ball. And one of those guards was straight mauling people the entire game too.
They have a good interior, bro.
They have a good young interior offensive lineman, and they don't use them. They don't utilize them. Like, you got a half a billion dollar quarterback sitting there that you can't protect, and he's just running around for his life on his own, justifiedly. I wouldn't say that they can't protect him. I'm saying that he's so far in his head that he's not protecting himself. You got to help the man out. They got to run the ball. They got to.
You got to run the ball big time, bro. They're not.
I hope they don't do it this week. This is the week that I hope they don't figure it out. They can figure it out next week.
Any reason he's never ran the ball in his life, bro. Let's keep it real. He hasn't ran the ball in his life. He wasn't running the ball. Everybody else was. So
that's true.
The league was running the ball like 57% of the time. You know, here's him with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
The ball 50 times. So
yeah.
You know, throw it screens to, you know, quick screens to Brian Westbrook. So I don't know if it was like, even when they ran the ball, it was like the most bland shotgun run play. So they got this diverse run game. And like, they're doing like
true. Yeah, he doesn't
counters really, and stuff.
He needs to bring in a run game coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think he's drawn up a run play like 5 years. He's probably just like no, Andy Reid. I don't know. All right, let's keep moving, Chris. We got Baker Mayfield versus Odell Beckham.
Is it versus Odell Beckham? Yeah, there you go. There it is. Dad. An 11-minute tape. Did you watch it at all?
I watched it. It's the typical fan video where they say people are open when they're not, like a quarterback getting sacked and a guy's open.
My favorite was like right at the beginning. It's like this. Beckham's playing press. They're playing press coverage on him. He beats the guy in press coverage, throws his hand up right away. Well, the safety's over the top. Like, where do you want this ball to go? He still gets the ball thrown to him. Yeah. It's an incomplete pass. Like, yeah. I don't It's, yeah. I mean, your dad's going to be your number one fan.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just dumb to post that fan video. Cause like I said, there's some times where it was like cover two, which people do all the time. For some reason, they think corners won't get there. And I'm like, guys, these are NFL players.
Yeah. People don't understand how much ground these guys cover in the NFL and how precise you have to be with your throw. Like they talk about, you got to throw somebody open.
Yeah.
You quite literally do because these guys move so fast.
Yeah. Like, and
Justin Fields fast, talking about in the preseason how slow the game is. And now he's getting his face kicked in because they're way too fast for him. Tua did the same thing. He's getting his face kicked in because everybody's so damn fast in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't. People just don't get it, man. You're right. It was a fan video.
Yeah, it was literally a fan video. Literally a fan video. It wasn't like somebody doing a precise breakdown. I mean, there was a lot of times where
he found some that Beckham was open, but you don't know what the scheme is. You don't know what the game plan is. You don't know what the call is. You don't know if he's backside and he's the third or fourth read coming through. He could be open, but if that's not where the ball's supposed to go in the scheme of the offense, it doesn't matter if he's open.
Yeah, I mean, what JT O'Sullivan always says, when they get to the back of their drop, wherever their eyes go, that's the first read. So they can do whatever eyes they want to do, like at the back while they're dropping, but where their eyes go and hit that back leg and then they get rid of the throw, wherever their eyes go, that's the first read. So if he hits the back leg and his eyes don't go to Odell, then he's not the first read. If he hits the back leg and his eyes go to him, you know, and it's like, especially if he's on the opposite side, I mean, that's what they don't understand, that it has to be like this. It's like a step thing. It's like, you gotta do boom.
My favorite is, well, and then you gotta, if you're going to go through progression, you also have to manipulate the defense as well. You might be looking at Odell right away and he's open on that little quick, but you're moving the linebacker to get in his way.
Yeah.
You're moving the safety to come to his half of the field because the play's designed to go the other way. So it doesn't matter what you see in these fan videos. They don't know the concepts. They don't know what's being drawn up. We could post stuff all day long too, unless we can understand the concept of it and really break it down. That's what matters the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of passing concepts are known. So but you have to be like somebody like that's a researcher like me. Like you have to
went through the scouting program for the NFL. So, I mean, you've got a little bit more insight than the average Joe here. Let's just say.
But you know, that's true. Cause I mean, cause people were trying to do the whole Baker's been missing Odell for a thing for a while. And I got in an argument with these one guys, cause they're trying to say that, you know, Baker was 3rd-and-1 against Chargers and Baker went to the flat and he didn't give Odell time to get to his post route. And I was like, well, I mean, that's man match cover 3. So that safety on the other side, he's just waiting for that, for the post. It's because you guys think it's cover 4, but that's what Brandon Staley wants the quarterback to think. He wants the quarterback to think just like how you idiots are thinking that it's cover 4. So then I attack the post and then here comes Derwin James on the backside because it's really cover 3. But he's just playing.
He picks it off.
And exactly. He comes and he picks it off. But Baker Mayfield is not. He's been in the league. He's played against Brandon Staley. He's been in a quarterback room with a quarterback coach telling you, hey, that's cover 3. It's not cover 4.
Right.
And he made the right decision.
They spent all week preparing for this stuff. And then you think you're all watching TV on Sunday and you have no clue what defense they're running that. Oh, he's open. Yeah, they disguise coverages.
Yeah, like
they disguise coverages to beat guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. You think that you sitting there in your couch on a Sunday and you didn't spend the whole week learning about the defense and breaking down film of the last 8 games that they played, that Baker's not going to figure that out? Really?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, he made the right decision there, right? And, like, you know, they're like, oh, did he miss? Odell's coming wide open. And I'm thinking, like, bro, this is man match cover 3. So, like, if a safety comes down, right, that's what Brandon Staley wants you to think because they do cover 3 differently. And everybody thinks it's quarters because they do cover 3 with a spread, right? But this safety comes down, right? And technically, it's still cover 3. Right. They do a little man matching at the bottom, but it's technically it's still cover 3.
Right? 3 over the top, cover 3.
Right. So and he's lurking, and that's what Brandon Staley, because in the whole conversation, my partner at THLY, BD, he showed Brandon Staley and Tom Brady getting picked on the same type of concept with the safety on the other side with the Rams just lurking, just waiting. And then Tom Brady threw the post and here he comes, bam, picked it off. And that's what he wants you to do. So they all would have threw interceptions. That's why I say fans, they throw interceptions all the time. They would just that's what they would do. Would just picks. Because
they wouldn't even get the ball out of their hands, Marcus. Let's be honest. I know. They'd be like, that's where I'm supposed to go. Oh God, he got there real fast. I can't do that.
I wouldn't either, bro. I probably couldn't even do it in college. I'm not gonna lie. I probably get it doing it in an SEC game, bro. I couldn't even get a pass off, man. I'd be terrified. Jordan Davis from Georgia coming down to me, man. I'd be
like, bro, I'd be like, can I throw hitches, slants, bubble screens? Like, don't make me. I'm not ready for a five step right now.
I'm checking the bubble screen every time.
Seven step me. Yeah. Drop play. I'm not even saying it's a QB draw. Like, put Najee next to me. Where's Najee?
Get him right next to the box, bro. Stack full stack on the box. You know,
he's still getting the ball.
Full screen.
Bro, three-step fade route. That's it. I'm going to throw it as far as I can. Let's see Jalen Waddle. I still won't be able to. I'll underthrow him.
I know, bro. Like, yeah, man, yeah.
These guys are so good. They're incredible athletes.
I know. And you know, and these schemes are tough. These teams are incredible.
These are professional schemes. Like, people don't understand. Like, I don't know, man.
I will say, Baker has his struggles. You know, I always go back to him. He's a short guy. He's short, so
can't see in the middle of the field.
And he has an adjust. He doesn't think he's short. That's the difference between Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, which you know we give Kyler Murray crap for being short, and he had some of the problems that Baker Mayfield have with seeing the middle of the field. But Kyler Murray knows he's short, so Kyler Murray he worked on it in the offseason. Obviously, I mean, or he probably did something to figure out where can I find lanes? How can I hit the middle of the field? Because that's something that's killing my game. You have to know you're short. You have to know your limitations. Obviously, Baker Mayfield has no idea that he's short. He doesn't know. Because Russell Wilson knows it. Drew Brees knows it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Kyler Murray knows it. You know, and they all found a way to succeed in a game that's not meant for them to succeed in. Like, Drew Brees, what, he's the step on his toes. Remember this is the thing he used to do? Step on his toes, you know, do things like
that. Step on his tippy toes and his chin. His chin was the highest point. And he's like literally looking down his cheeks, trying to see. He made his head as big as possible.
Yeah. And Baker don't do anything like that. Baker thinks he's 6'4". So he thinks he's 6'4". He's going to struggle, bro. It is. I mean, he has to realize that he's short. He's got to learn how to slide and find passing lanes. And because he can't get out of the pocket, he thinks he runs a 4.5 too, which I don't know. There's a lot of things with Baker that he thinks of himself. You can tell by the way he plays that he thinks that he's like this, you know, superstar quarterback. That's what he's telling Odell Beckham to apologize to him. Like, whatever, bro. You're a bad leader, bro. You're just a terrible leader, I think.
I don't know, man.
Have you ever watched him like the?
I can't say that I haven't at all recently.
He's all about him. You know what I mean? Look at my throw. Look at that throw I made.
Does he?
That. Yeah, it's all. Nah. Look at that throw I made. Look at that. What a throw I just did.
Dang. That's tough.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why you got like all the Browns players liking that video and stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
The media could try to, you know, kill Odell Beckham, whatever. But the Browns players, they saw the video and they hit like.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Even a wide receiver like Rashad Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins hit it. That's the one that I know for sure. That's the only name that I know for sure.
John Johnson did too. Button. John Johnson did he? That safety. Yeah,
safety.
A couple other players did too, bro. Like,
that's.
Yeah, I still think he's a good leader like that, bro. I think he's just so full of himself. He's got all the commercials. I'm sure players don't like him because, you know, what have you done? You know what I mean? But yeah. All right, man. Enough on Baker. I think we're going to cut this one a little short today, but, you know, we got Rams versus Titans. No Derrick Henry. Are we going to see the real Ryan Tannehill?
No, man, we're going to see Adrian Peterson. He's going to get 20 carries this week.
Good point. Because I was like, man, are we going to see the real Ryan now?
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. ESPN Fantasy Football, they're having conversations that this should turn into more touchdown passes for Tannehill, for A.J. Brown, if Julio Jones can get on the field. I just don't think he has any cohesion with his wide receivers. I don't think they're on the same page even in the slightest. He lost his tight end. That was a big part of that offense last year. I don't think Tannehill's comfortable in the passing game, and we may see the old Tannehill. We may see Miami Dolphin Tannehill this weekend.
I think so too, man. I don't think he ever left. So I think he's
still That's true.
He's still been the same guy.
You haven't been preaching that.
He's still the same dude. And when you get him in passing situations, it's just not the prettiest thing in the world. But if you keep him in running situations, he plays a lot better. I think the weapons around him are good. So, I mean, he's going to be able to lean on those guys. But I don't know. I think the Rams are just really good. I think Stafford's playing his butt off. But the Titans, you always make a joke. Are the Titans a playoff team? We're going to find out this week.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. No Derrick Henry. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because their biggest issue coming into the year was that defense. And now they're going to go against one of the best offenses in the league. Oh, and don't forget, Von Miller is now on the pass rush for the friggin' Rams.
Crazy, bro.
Insane.
Yeah, man.
They have a fifth round draft pick next year, and that's it.
It's crazy.
They have one pick. One.
We'll see how Stafford plays, man, going down the stretch. That's going to be the interesting part for me. Like, what is Stafford going to do? What is he going to look like? Is he going to keep balling? I think he will, but once you get into the playoffs,
we'll find out.
We play some really, really good
teams. We will find out. Hey, I need the Packers to get that one seed so we can get the Rams out of LA, out of that one weather. That's what I need.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders can get the one seed, man. It's right there, bro. It's like all this crap is happening, bro. Like, why now? Why this year? When they can win the AFC, bro. Because I'm not gonna say this on a Raiders podcast. People get to think I'm Homer, but honestly, I don't know. I don't know if that many teams are that much better than the Raiders in the AFC. I can't think of one. I can't the Bills.
It's been a really weird. It's been a really weird year, Marcus, where you think somebody's supposed to do well and they do not. It's also been a weird year where things happen that have no business happening. Like the Bengals losing to the Jets should never have happened. Why did they call a penalty, a helmet-to-helmet hit on the cornerback?
What was that?
Mike White literally speared the cornerback, and the corner got the penalty called on him.
It was terrible, man.
It literally changed the game.
My parlay was ruined at that point anyways, because I took the spread. So I'm like, the Bengals gonna, the Bengals, they beat the Ravens 41-17. Chance, no, easy. And I was just upset at the game. I'm like, man, I don't even care if you guys win anymore. You guys pissed me off already because you did.
It's been a wild season. Absolutely wild season.
I mean, we didn't even get to Mike White, bro, and his 3.7 average at the target and 400 yards. I need to go watch that game because I mean, maybe it'll happen tonight. It's a nice Thursday game that we wouldn't even really care about.
Yeah, we're not even going to. Yeah. We're recording here today on Thursday. We're not even going to get into tonight's game.
So that was interesting because that goes back to something that we might, if he plays well, Chris, we might be talking about Zach Wilson next week. So,
well, listen, I had issues with Zach right away. I told you, I did not go easy on that kid.
I know, me either.
And don't forget, they brought Flacco back too.
Yeah. I know.
They got three quarterbacks there, and it seems like two who are not named Zach Wilson are the best option at this point.
Yeah, I got it here, but I don't know if we can talk about this next week. We need to talk about, like, why are teams dumping these quarterbacks so quick? Like, the stuff that Robert Saleh was even saying. Like, what are these guys not studying or something? Are they not, like, showing good study habits? It's just interesting. It's interesting to me.
It's indicative of the culture that we have just in our society right now. These kids have been coddled their entire lives, told how great they are their entire lives, have been working off of their talent alone their entire lives. And this is the NFL. Talent alone doesn't fly. So if you don't put the time in to get your brains to match your talent level, you're gone.
100%. I agree with that.
You're gone.
All right, guys. We're going to get out of here. Hope you guys appreciate the show this week. Make sure you guys follow us on all the social medias. Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Make sure you guys go to Facebook, too, A Little Pocket Awareness. Make sure you hit subscribe button, iTunes, download, Spotify. And follow me and Chris on Twitter at the Mark John NFL at King Manelos for Chris. All right, Chris, any last words?
ASU went ahead and let us down, and they didn't even get to Oregon State. They didn't even get to Oregon State, Marcus.
I didn't even talk about it, bro. All right. we'll see you guys. All righty.